Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have been singing about you and calling on your Holy Spirit. And we ask that as I speak, so you might sift those words and bring to each person that which is of you this morning, that they might take that into the lives you call them to live outside of this building. So come now, we pray, in your name. Amen. It is really lovely to be with you this morning, and you're very blessed by your music and by the musicians that you have. A bishop is an itinerant ministry, and so I'm in a different church every Sunday across the diocese, and many are struggling to have musicians, and it has just been beautiful this morning, and thank you for all that gives to us and to our worship. So firstly, as I said to the 9 o'clock, I have to acknowledge that when Matt wrote to me and said that you were making your way through the Nicene Creed, you are the first church in 25 years that I've come across doing that, that I've been invited to preach into as well. And I really look forward to the last summary session you're going to have about what you've learnt, and I shall remember to ask Matt what you say. But he wrote to me and said, you've got a good Sunday. And so the part I've got is, for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. My first thought was how very daunting, because I have to try and fit the North Sea into a swimming pool in just one moment as well. So the question has been for me, where do I dip my cup into this vast ocean of joy that the Nicene Creed offers to us this morning? So I'm going to concentrate just on that simple first sentence. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And that's because in my preparation over these weeks, I've been pondering, that's what has come alive for me as well within there. And I think, as all of us know, any creed, any statement of faith, especially if we know it by heart and it just runs through us, we know that what we say with our lips should have an answering cry in our hearts. That's my story. That's my story. But it should also have an outworking in our everyday life, an expression in our daily living. So when we say a creed, when we have a sentence like I've just said, somehow we have to populate it with pictures of lived experience as well, outside of our Sundays and our front doors. Otherwise, they are just empty words, clanging cymbals. So last night, as I was continuing to ponder for us and for our salvation, I'm going to talk about our salvation first of all, then I'm going to talk about for us and for our, and then I'm going to talk about came down. You'll be glad to know the last two are shorter than the first, so you'll know when you're on the downward slope towards the end of what I'm saying. But for our salvation, so last night when I was at Merton, I was at Easington Deanery, and I was there for confirmation. So there were 10 people. They ranged in age from late teens right the way through to a woman who was baptised when she was born in 1945. And now, 78 years later, she said to me she knew the time had come for her to respond afresh to Christ. It's never too late. There is always the next opportunity. And so we heard testimonies there of faith in Jesus from this small ex-Durham coalfields area, where for a lot of those people who gave testimony, life is really tough at the moment as well. But what they gave testimony to was to be found that they were loved by Jesus Christ and have discovered a hope that they did not know before as well within there. So to each one, I said, God has called you by name and made you his own. God has called you by name and made you his own. Then confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit. And it's a reminder that the experience of salvation is utterly personal. Every story each person told was different. God encounters us as individual people. And we are known by name. We are that special. We are known by name. We are known personally and individually. And we are called by God in an utterly personal way to experience salvation. And that is the story that we have. No one else has a story of faith that we have to be able to tell to others. So the first thing I wanted to say to you today, what is your story of faith? What is your story of salvation? How did you come to know Jesus? What was it that transformed Jesus from someone in a book to somebody personal that you walk with every day of your life? And how is that relationship deepening daily as you go through your life as well? How is it that happening for you as a community here as well? It may be that some are still searching, some are still wondering, some are still waiting for that moment where Jesus becomes that person that our lives run after. The Creed tells us that salvation is always now. Jesus is among us today, that the next step in our journey of faith is waiting for us to take before we leave the door this morning, whatever stage of our journey of faith we are. So as I began to prepare for this morning, I felt very strongly I should begin with experience. And so I'm going to tell you something of my own journey of faith as well. So I'm someone who's really twice a convert. So my first call to turn around and follow Jesus was at 18. I was baptised by full immersion in the Baptist Church in Sutton Coldfield at 22. I was very happy there. Then very unexpectedly, I received a very clear call to leave my Baptist family and to move into the Church of England. I can't tell you how unexpected that was. And I was confirmed at 31, so reminded last night of my own confirmation, my own commitment to follow Jesus in the Church of England, and that the call to priesthood, to leadership in the church, came after I had given my commitment to follow in the way that Jesus called me. So I think of it as two conversions, one to Christ and one to the Church of England as well within it. But I came to faith through the witness of the life and words of my sister, Lorna. Lorna and my brother-in-law, Rob, are now Baptist pastors in Ashford, Kent. And the rest of my family tend to come to church when I'm doing something. But other than that, they haven't walked the same path as Lorna and I. And for all of us, I think it's always a mystery how it is that two can come in such a way and others don't from there within it. Lorna came to faith through friends who welcomed her when she went to study to teach in Birmingham in England. I'm Welsh. And it was there that friends helped her to encounter Jesus. And it was through her changed life, it was through seeing salvation lived out by my sister in a tangible way in her daily life that I came to understand that Jesus was a real person and not simply someone in the pages of a book. And it's been lovely to hear about the fact you're doing a sharing faith course, because what we know from all the research is the majority of people take their steps along the journey of faith, which can be a long path, often through friends, through members of the family, sometimes by neighbours, sometimes by somebody close, but usually somebody you've met. Step by step along the way, by hearing your story, hearing what's going on in your life, what Jesus has done for you. And your story is the greatest tool of witness that we can ever have, the lived experience of salvation in your life that can be transforming for another. And that was my experience through my sister Lorna. We'd been brought up in the valleys of South Wales, somebody who even knows where I've come from as well from there. dominated in the 70s and early 80s for me by half-empty chapels shaped by the wasteland left around when coal came to an end, mining came to an end. Hard years when money was tight. I came from a family which had been shattered by divorce. There were many things going on. And what was really interesting was I had never seen what faith lived faithfully in the life of another person looked like until my sister left Wales, went to England, first generation university, came back and showed me that as well. And the final key for me was a sketch by young people who were transformational for me. Young people can share faith often better than some of us who are older can. And they also have that really living faith. And I've learned over the years that children very young, right the way through to people very old, have their own story and can share of Christ in a way that is strong and living. And they did the sketch of Jesus and Nicodemus and that phrase that you'll all know, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that night at 18, I had this really short conversation with God. If you're real, I will follow you. And of course, what happened, the next years were really stormy years, as you had to really work with that sense of what's real and not real, what's good news and not good news when you're coming to faith in Jesus, when you're looking to form your life. And for me, forgiveness, for me, salvation didn't look like forgiveness of sins. Our message about what salvation is has to be really broad. People find themselves in different ways. There are many things. For me, it was about coming to belong to the family of God, to have a place in God's family, to being brought home, being brought close, like the parable of the prodigal son, being able to come home. And for me, it was out of Ephesians 2:17, how Jesus brings people, those who are far off, and those who are close, he preaches peace, and you find you have a place in the heart of God. It was utterly transforming for me. Over all these years, I know that salvation for me looks like being saved from the life I might have lived, for a life that has been full of the grace and the encouragement of God through the depth as well as the great moments of life as well. And of course, what I'm trying to express is slightly almost inexpressible. I'm trying to express that sense of life, that sense of relationship with the one whom we name God. We often use he when we talk about God, but God is beyond gender, so much greater than that as well. But to speak of God, to speak of the God who we are saved for, the God that we receive, to speak of God in the context of that Nicene Creed, in the context of for us and for our salvation, we must always speak of the Trinity, of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To speak of salvation without speaking of God's completeness in how God has revealed himself to us is to fall into error. It was at Nicaea that the Trinitarian nature of God, the one God, was fought for against the Arians who denied the divinity of the Son, denied that the Son was co-substantial with the Father. They denied that the Holy Spirit could be worshipped and glorified. They denied that God was one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the gift of the Nicene Creed. It reminds us of the completeness of the God who we follow. And so salvation revealed in the Creed reminds us that salvation is always relational, that God is always relation, always the persons of the Trinity who we encounter in salvation and life. It is always person to person. And the Church of England had the Doctrine Commission, who wrote a book called The Mystery of Salvation. And they speak of this salvation as being nothing less than the God who gives us life by giving himself to us. And there is a quote that I just love from in the midst of it, because it speaks of salvation like this, that salvation is to share through the Spirit that unbroken unity of Jesus Christ with the Father, which has broken the power of death. Salvation is to experience the Trinitarian life as our own life, within and beyond the conditions of this mortal life. So as we hold an image of our mind of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the life that's exchanged between the persons of the Trinity, salvation tells us that through Christ, we find ourselves caught up in that very life, and that to be saved is nothing less than to share in that unbroken union of Jesus and the Father and the Spirit. It is utterly enormous and utterly beautiful. And so we know that we have everything that we need for the life that we are called to live as followers of Jesus, because we have the very life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit flowing through us as well. So as this, the book of Romans says, God, who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him give us everything else? So my conviction around salvation is that if I can be called by name, if I can be brought into the family of God, if God will share God's own very life with me, then it is possible for anyone. And if God has called you by name, then it is possible that he can call every single person in this world by name into faith in Jesus, into the life of the Trinity. And if you forget everything else I say today, when you walk out of this door, simply ask yourself, what is the Holy Spirit asking you now to deepen your experience of that life of the triune God within you? Who is God asking you to speak your story to, your personal story to, so that they might find their steps towards Jesus through your story? Who are you going to be my sister for to someone else? That's part of what we must do with any creed, is ask how it's rooted in the everyday life that we have to experience it. So that's the first part for our salvation. What has been gifted to you in salvation? But two smaller things to take with you as well. For us and for our. I was pondering what for us and for our salvation meant. Because I think often when I say the creeds, whether it's the Nicene Creed or some of the others, whether it's somewhere like All Saints, or it's the cathedral, or it's a small church up in Weardale, all the different places that I go, when you say the creed, you're looking at each other, and it can feel as if for us and for our are simply the people that you're with here in church. But of course, that's not true. Could I have the water, please? I've had a bad cold, so thank you. And I was reminded of that this week, because on Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, I went with Bishop Paul and a small group of curates to the Nordkirch, which is the North German church, the Lutheran church in the north of Germany, which is our link. And we went to Lübeck, just a small group of us, and exchanged with the Lutheran church there. And on the Sunday, just a week ago, we were in the cathedral in Lübeck, the Dom, they call it as well. And it reminded me of you because they have towers just like yours, you know, your green tower. So theirs were built also in the 50 with a green tower. And when I drew up, you reminded me in a very small way of the cathedral. But of course, The reason their towers look like yours is because they were bombed out of existence in 1945 by the British and had to rebuild the cathedral, and so their towers are 1950s towers because there was nothing left of them when the bombing raids had finished. And so we went and we were sharing in worship. You would recognise it. And it was quite formal. And we said the Nicene Creed. And they said it in German, of course. And as they said it in German, I thought of you today and coming here. And when they said, for us and for our salvation, they were thinking of each other in that cathedral in Germany as well. And so when we say that for us and for our salvation, I wonder who you've got in mind when you say that. Are you thinking of yourselves? Are you thinking of each other? Or do you have other places? I was hearing about some of the links you have with other churches around the world. Do you think of those when you think for us and for our salvation? And what we discover is that the creed is incredibly broad. And when we say for us and for our salvation, we're saying nothing less than for all those churches and places where people hold Christ as Lord. We know in Ephesians 4:6, the Apostle Paul wrote, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And when we say the creed, when we speak of salvation, we are also expressing a unity which is deeper than denomination, which is deeper than language, which is deeper than continents, which is deeper than our divisions, and we have many divisions and many struggles, which go to the very heart of that triune God that I was speaking about, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That for the church, universal, there is that sense of a church which can never, ever be overcome, because it is rooted in that very life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you say for us and for our salvation, you are actually holding before God, holding before others, not simply yourselves, but all those other people who hold Jesus as Lord throughout both the diocese, through this country, and through the world. And it is good to try to practice looking outside of our own walls and remembering just how big a church that we are part of within there. But there is an even deeper inclusion than the inclusion of all those in faith. Because for us and for our salvation is talking about all of humanity. So it is also including within that promise all those people who do not yet know Jesus as Lord as within there. All those people that there is that enormous opportunity to come to know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Rowan Williams, he wrote a really little book on being Christian, which is just great. And he speaks about baptism, which of course is the way that all people of faith in Christ take our first step into the life of the Trinity, take our first step into church, however that comes, the beginning of incorporation and belonging. And Rowan Williams, when he writes about baptism, writes this. He says, to be baptized is to recover the humanity that Christ first intended. And what did God intend? He intended that human beings should grow into such love for him, such confidence in him, that they could rightly be called God's sons and daughters. Human beings have let go of that identity. They've abandoned it, forgotten it, or corrupted it. When Jesus arrives on the scene, he restores humanity to where it should be. For us and for our salvation is nothing less than being called back to full humanity. And when we are acting in mission and evangelism, one of the images that we can have within that is that image of human beings who've let go of their identity as God's sons and daughters, who've abandoned it, forgotten it, corrupted it, rejected it. And part of what we are doing is calling them back through Jesus, the one who is truly human, to see what it is to be a son or daughter of the living God. So mission, evangelism, for us and for our salvation, is about weaving people back into that unbroken union of Jesus Christ with the Father through the gift of the Spirit. And that is beautiful. And that is what we see when we see people gradually restored to the people God knows that they can be. And that's my experience of salvation, of being restored, of being healed, being set free, to be more completely the person that Jesus has called by name. And my prayer and hope is that that is your experience too. And we live that and we walk that every day of our life. Finally, and shortly, if we are drawn into the very life of Jesus within the Trinity, if we are drawn in that way, it means that the life that we will live will always be shaped like Christ's life. Our discipleship is always paschal shaped, is always the shape of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. It always has that sense of letting go, if you like, so that Christ can come to us more fully, of being able to experience, yes, the sorrow and the brokenness and the struggle of what it is to follow Jesus, but always knowing the hope that resurrection will come, that there is always Sunday after Friday, even though the Holy Saturday can feel very difficult. And so part of what, and he came down from heaven, is talking about, it's modelling for us also that following of Jesus, which follows the shape of his life, that giving of self-giving love that we heard in our reading, of that waiting for the act of the Father to bring new life, but always that hope and that trust that does not disappoint us, that resurrection will come. So for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, is a sea that we could drown in. And I hope today there has been something, as I prayed at the beginning, that you can take as your gift from the Holy Spirit to live out fully tomorrow in whatever you face in your day which is there, and that you will know the life of God flowing through you as you do that. Amen.